today on Adventures in Faith with Jerry Savelle.
Your life is an epistle, and it's being read by somebody every day, even when you're not even aware of it. Even when you don't know they're even watching, somebody is watching. Amen. The message you send is how you talk and how you act, and particularly in a crisis. Your life, once again, is an epistle, and somebody's reading it every day. What message are you sending? What letter are you sending? The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, let's go there, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now listen to this, underline this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Notice the thing that he heard about these believers in Colossae. What was it? Their faith and their love. I think that's two of the greatest attributes that anybody could recognize in your life. What did they think of when they think of your name? Faith and love. Faith and compassion. I don't think there's anything greater that someone could think about you, then that person is a person of faith and a person of love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Faith and love. Say it with me. Faith and love.
Faith and love.
Is that what others see in you? Is that the first thing they think when they hear your name? Do they think of this? They're always obedient to God. They're always endeavoring to please Him. They always put God first in everything they do. Or do they think, well, you just never know whether they'll be up today and down tomorrow. They really never demonstrate consistency. They talk a good talk about living by faith, but they very seldom demonstrate it. Is that the message people are receiving when they think of your name? Once again, you may not realize it, but you are making impressions on somebody every day. I heard someone say this many years ago. I don't remember who it was. If I did, I'd give them credit for it. The impression you make can build a bridge to God for somebody, or it can drive a wedge between them and God. The impression that you make can build a bridge to God for somebody, or it can drive a wedge between them and God. It's also been said, you have one chance to make a first impression, but you have a lifetime to make a lasting impression. Amen? You know, first impressions are important.
Yes, sir.
First impressions are important. I remember Jesse DePlantis telling me one time, and Jesse and I preach in a lot of the same churches around the world, and Jesse said to me one time, he said, Jerry, everywhere I go, pastors think so highly of you. He said, I've never heard one pastor ever say that Jerry Savelle came in here and fleeced our people, or Jerry Savelle came in here and tried to find out who was the richest members in the church and have personal meetings with them at the hotel. He said, everywhere I go, your name is upheld. You leave a good impression everywhere you go. Well, I've endeavored to do that. I've worked hard at doing that, you know. And he said, pastors love you all over the world. I said, well, Jesse, that didn't just happen overnight. It didn't happen, you know, just because I'd like for it to happen. I've worked hard at that, endeavoring to leave a good impression everywhere I've gone. I was telling Eric this week, that there was a man that came to our office years ago, and he wanted an appointment with me. I'd never met him before. He was a consultant to ministries and so forth, and he was well known in the body of Christ back in those days. And he said, came into my office, and we had him in the conference room, and he said, Jerry Savelle, you're one of the rising stars in the charismatic movement. I want to help put your name in every household. I said, well, sir, you must have me mistaken by somebody else. That's not my aim. That's not my goal. That's never been my dream. All I'm endeavoring to do is be obedient to what God called me to do. He said, well, I'd like to represent your ministry. He said, now I'll start writing your partner letters for you, and I'll start doing this, and I'll start doing that. And he said, and every once in a while, we need to create a crisis because people give when there's a crisis. So I got up and I said, sir, thank you for coming, but I'm not interested. There's the door. He said, you're not interested in becoming one of the most well-known preachers in the world? I said, no, sir, that's never been my goal. My goal is to do what God's called me to do, and what God's called me to do is make winners in life through the Word of God. And we'll get that done without you. Amen. Amen. That was a long, long time ago. Long time ago. And we haven't had to have him to become a ministry that is known around the world. And a ministry that I might add, and I'm not trying to be egotistical, but a ministry of integrity. Amen. A ministry of faithfulness. I mean, do you know how rare it is today to be able to say you have been a team with the same preacher for 54 years and there's no competition, never been a crossword? Amen? That's rare in the body of Christ today. But that's the way God wanted it. Amen. So once again, I'm going to keep repeating this. Your life is an epistle, and it's being read by somebody every day, even when you're not even aware of it. Even when you don't know, they're even watching. Somebody is watching. Amen. Like the time when there was a thing, bad economy in the U.S. back in the 80s. And two ladies were in the grocery store. Carolyn asked me to stop and pick up something. So I went in there and I saw two ladies who had been a member of the church we had back in the 70s. And they're standing there picking things off the shelf. And one of them said, can you believe how much this costs now? No, I can't believe that. She said, don't even go to the meat section. It's unreal what the meat costs. And she said, oh, yeah, have you checked out bread lately, how much bread costs? Then they both saw me and said, oh, Brother Jerry, isn't it wonderful that God meets all of our needs? Putting on a facade, living one way and talking another way.
Amen.
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 No, the message you send is how you talk and how you act, and particularly in a crisis. Anybody can talk faith when everything's going well. But what are you talking when all hell breaks loose? What are you talking when the bottom falls out? What are you talking during a pandemic? Amen? So the impression you make can build a bridge to God for someone, or it can drive a wedge between them and God. You have one chance to make a first impression, but a lifetime to make a lasting impression. The truth is, you're setting an example for somebody every day. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Paul was so confident that he was making a positive impression that he was bold to make this statement, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for in sample or an example. Be followers of me. How many people could say, oh, if you're looking for a good example, follow me? But Paul was so confident that he was leaving a good and positive example that he was bold to say, be followers of me as I follow Christ. The Amplified Bible says, follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. Follow my example and observe those who have followed the pattern that we have set for you. The Message translation says, keep track of those you see running this same course and headed for the same goals. The book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I'd like to add this to that verse. Not only should we follow these kind of people who set a good example of faith and patience, but it should be our ambition to become one of those people that somebody else can follow. Amen. Amen. You become the example to somebody else of faith and patience, of faith and endurance, faith and this no quit attitude, no turning back attitude. Amen. Here's the kind of example that God wants you to become to others. That same scripture from the Message translation. Who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. You know, people like following winners. People are attracted to winners. Amen. That was one of the things that kept me out of the ministry because I didn't think preachers had the ability to win. I thought all preachers were moochers. They just lived off everybody else. You know, Carolyn's mom and dad, they were back in these days, those days, preachers didn't stay in hotels. They stayed in people's homes. And Carolyn's mom and dad, Olin and Mary Creech, were usually the home that the pastor asked them to host the speaker, the guest preacher. And they did all the time. And we had a house next door to them that her father built. And that meant every time some preacher's in their house, Carolyn wanted me to meet them preachers. Trying to set me up. You know, maybe something one of them says or does will get his attention. And prior to Kenneth Copeland, the only one who ever stayed in their home that I liked and I liked being around, and he impressed me, was Brother Lee Spivey. Brother Spivey from Declo, Idaho. What a precious man he was. I considered him to be an old apostle. Old. He was younger than I am now. But he was an old apostle when you're 22 years old, you know. And Brother Spivey would come. And I just thought the world of him. He was a precious man. And he would say to me, Jerry, I'm praying for you. And it didn't intimidate me. It didn't make me think, oh, Carolyn's talking to him about me, just like she does all them other preachers. And she didn't talk to other preachers. I just thought that. And I never was impressed with many of them that stayed in their home. But Brother Spivey. And when I accepted the call to the Lord, he came to congratulate me because he'd been praying for me. And he said, no, Brother Jerry, do you intend to have longevity in the ministry? I said, yes, sir. I've been running from God for a long time, and now I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. He said, would you like some secrets to having longevity in the ministry? I said, yes, sir. I said, let me run get my legal pad. And I sat there in front of him, and I thought I'd fill up that legal pad. And here's what he said. Shun the very appearance of evil. Got up, went in his car, and left. That's it? He said, if you do that, you'll have longevity in the ministry. Shun the very appearance of evil. Anybody ever attended my Bible school? That is the first lesson you learned when you came to my Bible school. That's the first lesson I share in every minister's conference I do. Shun the very appearance of evil. And today, I get called old school because I practice that. Amen. I was in Tennessee one time, and the pastor said, I'll pick you up at 6:30. Meeting starts at 7 o'clock. Takes about 15 minutes to get there. I like to be there about 15 minutes early. So I'm standing out in front of the hotel because I'm always on time. There's time, and then there's Seville time, and that's 15 minutes earlier than that. Is that right? So I'm standing out there waiting for my ride, the pastor. It's almost 7 o'clock, and he hadn't arrived yet. Finally, it gets to be 7 o'clock, and I'm still standing there on the curb. And this car comes around, and the window goes down, and there's a woman in there driving, and she said, Brother Jerry, I'm pastor's secretary. Something came up, and he said for me to come pick you up. I said, no, ma'am, I can't ride with you. She said, why not? I said, you're a woman. And see if she didn't know. Because, you know, today you can't tell women from men and men from women, you know. But she was a woman. I said, you're a woman. She said, yes, I know. I said, I can't ride with you. I said, I'm on television. I'm on television here in this city. And if we're riding down the highway to your church and somebody sees me in the car with this woman alone, and they know you're not my wife because they know Carolyn, what she looks like, then I would never have the opportunity to explain this. So you go get a man. I'll be standing right here waiting for you, and you go get a man to come pick me up. Oh, she was upset about that. And the pastor was even more upset than her. Well, that's old school thinking, Brother Jerry. Well, old school thinking has caused me to be in the ministry 55 years without a scandal. Amen. So if that's what it takes, call me old school Jerry. That's fine. Praise God. Amen. Because I intend to finish my course without a scandal. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Amen. So, stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised. Say committed faith. Committed faith. Look at your neighbor and say, stay the course with committed faith. That's how you get everything God wants you to have. That's what others should see in you, committed faith. They should see a never give up, never turn back attitude. This is what Paul saw in the believers in Thessalonica. Go with me, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, on the sower sows the word, that once the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. Here, the Apostle Paul says that you received the word from us with much affliction. In other words, right after he preached to them, and they received the word, many trials, many afflictions, many challenges came to them. Now, here's what it says. If you keep on reading verse 7, it says, so that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Notice this is what he saw in them, that they did not give up in adversity. They did not quit in afflictions. And eventually their faith was spread abroad. Hallelujah. That's the example that God wants each and every one of us to have. Now, the Message translation says, when the message we preach came to you, it was not just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. You paid close attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. Although great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit. And then it closes with, do you know believers look up to you? And it finishes with, the news of your faith is out. Hallelujah. The news of your faith is out. And the Passion Translation says, people are hearing about your strong faith. Notice, they made an impression, a lasting impression. When people thought of the believers in Thessalonica, they thought, oh, those people have strong faith. They will not quit even under pressure. Even when they have great trials, they just stay strong. They stay steady. They don't compromise. They're the same. They're an example of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that what people say when they hear your name? Is that the message your life is sending to others? It should be the legacy of everyone in here today. In one of Paul's letters to Timothy, he admonished him in 1 Timothy 4:12, and I'm reading it from the Passion Translation, be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in all that you do. Remain strong in faith. Be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in all that you do. You know how you grow a church? Its members being faithful. Being faithful. And what happens when people are faithful? They abound in the blessings of God. And abounding in the blessings of God causes people to be attracted to you and where you go to church. Amen? Be the example they need to see by being fruitful or faithful and true in all that you do. Remain strong in your faith. Remaining strong in your faith is one of the greatest things that you can do in being an example to others. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, you are the light to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Message translation says, you are here. Listen to this. This is the purpose that you're here right now. I'm talking about on this planet. You're alive today for this reason. You're here to be a light. Shine. You're here to be a light. Shine is what the Message translation says. So I had a question for you at the beginning of this message, and I have a question for you at the close of this message. After you are gone, will the life that you live down here still be making an impact on others? What will they remember you by? If I should die before the rapture, and it's quite possible I will be here and go up in the rapture. The sign of the times are certainly indicating that. But if for some reason I die before the rapture, of course I win either way. But if I should die before the rapture, I want my family to put on my grave. He finished his course. He kept the faith, and quitting was not an option. Amen. Thank you. Come on, let's give the Lord a good shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, please. Lift your hands and let me pray for you. Father, I pray over every member of this congregation and over every person who's watching by internet, live stream, whatever way they're seeing this service later through social media. I pray in Jesus' name that the message I've shared today will make a tremendous impact on each and every life. That they seriously think about what impressions they are leaving and making on others who come in contact.
What impression is your life making? How are you affecting and changing the world around you? In today's exclusive offer, Building a Lasting Impression Special Package, you'll receive Jerry's insightful book, Living in the Fullness of the Blessing, and his faith-building four-part audio series, Our Covenant-Keeping God. You are not meant to live an ordinary, mediocre life. Discover how God's blessing and favor will make you an example of God's goodness. In this package, Jerry teaches how your actions can block the blessing, the result of God's favor, and how to remove natural limits. God's blessing will cause you to make a lasting impression that echoes into eternity. Act quickly. Call or go online now to jerrysavelle.org and request your copy of the Building a Lasting Impression Special Package. You have an incredible chance to show a piece of heaven to those around you, to reflect God's goodness in your everyday life.
I trust you've been blessed today by today's lessons, and I want to encourage you, continue in the Word. The Bible says if you continue in the Word, Jesus said it, you'll be my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 from the Amplified Bible says, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever before to the things which you have learned. If you continue in the Word, then you're not only going to be made free, but you're going to become an example for somebody else of how that they can be free as well. So determine right now that you're going to be that example for somebody else to follow so that they too can learn how to live a life of victory through the Word of God. Before we leave there, let me remind you of our special resource package, my little book, Living in the Fullness of the Blessing. God's blessings belong to you, every one of them. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that God wants to bless you coming in, going out, in the city, in the field, everything you set your hand to do, blessed by Almighty God. This book teaches you how to live in the fullness of that promise. And then four CDs entitled Our Covenant-Keeping God. When you learn that you have a covenant with God, then you can always depend on Him backing it to the hilt. So those are available. Just write jerrysavelle.org. Before we leave there, let me remind you that if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's very simple. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died in your place, was raised from the dead, that you might be saved. So do that right now. Just say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Be my Lord. And I'm telling you, your life is never going to be the same. Also, go to our website and download this little book, You're Somebody Special to God. We look forward to sharing with you again next time. So until then, remember, your faith will overcome the world.